Good morning, Glenville. It's an honor to come before you and deliver the first half of the word this morning, but before I get started, let us pray. Bow your heads. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to come before the people and minister in such a unique way. Lord, I pray that the word that you've given me is one that really touches the people in a special way and that people are blessed because of it. All these things in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Alright, so first off, I know it's kind of weird that I'm on video, but I think that it makes my sermon really unique because I could do things like this. Okay, let me get serious now. Okay, so the title of today's message is Tough Yet Tender. And when I first heard the message, I just immediately wanted to find the definitions for both of those words, tough and tender. So, according to dictionary.com, the definition of the word tough is strong and durable, not easily broken or cut. And the definition of tender is soft or delicate in substance, not hard or tough. They sound like opposites. So with this being the Men's Day message about being tough yet tender, I thought it was going to be a pretty difficult sermon to do because I know that most dudes want to cut the tenderness out of their routine and just be tough. I mean, what dude do you know that would like to be defined as soft or delicate in substance and not hard or tough at all? Matter of fact, don't answer that. I know the youth are probably coming up with some jokes about each other right now. And even though I'm not in town right now, the last thing that I would want to be while I'm walking down St. Clair when I get back in a couple weeks is tender, because if I was seen as tender, this would probably happen. Yeah, that would probably happen. So, how can we be tough and tender and survive? Well, with the definitions of tough and tender that we're working with right now, it seems impossible to be both and survive because they're opposites, you know? But let's try to switch the definitions up for a little bit and see what God says about it, all right? Well, first, let's examine what men says, actually. Okay, so first, let's define what tough is. Let's say you walk down to Glenville High School or any other high school in Cleveland and you ask the first person that you saw what they thought being tough would be. I narrowed down the responses to like three main points that I want to focus on. And the first point of what I think somebody would say being tough would be is never backing down from a fight. Getting respect.
Yo, those dudes is talking about you, man.
Talking about me?
Yeah, them right
there. I'ma get my respect. They can't talk about me. They ain't coming to me like that.
Yo, we gotta go. Those dudes are real. We gotta get out of here.
Okay, so if you're writing notes, I wanna call these 3 points the three gets, okay? The first one is getting respect. And the second one is getting money. Getting money. Roll clip. Oh, Jesus.
Hi, I need a loan for $30,000, please.
What for?
I need rims!
Okay, so we got getting respect and we got getting money. Now, what's the last thing that will make somebody tough? Let me see. Oh, I know. Getting girls.
Oh, my God. Hey, baby. Hey, baby. Let me holler. Oh. So, baby, why don't you call your man and tell him that you done found the new one, all right? So, see, I don't even like your Cali girls. Your LA girls are mean.
And that's basically the mindset. And if you check the top 10 rap songs that are on right now, they either talk about point one, point two, or all three of those points. And when you grow up in a neighborhood or in a mindset where that's what you have to chase to be a man, being soft and delicate seem like the complete opposite way to go, right? So once again, what can we as Christians do to be tough and tender? Now let's see what God says. Okay, so there was this dude who was a warrior, right? He had this big old army and he was fighting all the time. And I know in Cleveland, like, it's a big thing if somebody takes over a neighborhood, but this dude would take over, like, whole cities. When he was little, there was this guy that he fought that was bigger than Antonio and James put together. That big giant guy tried to fight his people, but this dude killed him with a slingshot. His name was David. And if all that stuff that I just told you didn't sound like the toughest thing ever, you know, a little dude beating up giants and taking over cities and ruling armies and all that, if that doesn't sound tough, then something must be wrong. If you look in 1 Samuel 32 through 37, you'll see just how tough he was. I'm gonna give you some time to find that. Okay, time's up. So basically, this is when he was getting ready to fight Goliath, right? Goliath was talking mess, and David was the only one who rose up against him. And he went up to the king, and he basically said, like, "Oh, king, I want to fight this guy." And this is where we take it from. So, 32. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." But Saul replied, the king replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been fighting men since his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by his hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go and the Lord be with you." So basically what happened was, David was telling the king, like, "Yo, I want to fight this dude." And the king said, "Yo, you're a little kid, you can't fight him." But basically he told him a story about, like, how when he was looking after his dad's sheep, a bear came and tried to kill the sheep, and he killed the bear. And then another time, a lion came, and he went and hit the lion, took the sheep from out of the lion's mouth, but the lion woke back up and came after him, and he basically grabbed the lion by his beard and beat the lion to death. That's so tough. That's so gangster. Man, that is tougher than anything I've heard happen in Cleveland or anywhere else. I mean, who fights a bear? Who fights a lion? That's the craziest thing ever. So David is preparing to fight Goliath, right? And, you know, he's getting ready, and Goliath is getting closer to where he's at, and he looks and he sees David. And, like, he's so big, and at this time, David was just a little dude, and they said he was, like, really handsome, and, like, you know, he was just, like, a little dude. So, like, it's like the equivalent of Rick Ross getting into a fight with Justin Bieber. It seems like you automatically know who's gonna win this battle right here. Baby, baby, baby. Okay. So, basically, Goliath is getting closer to David while David's getting ready to fight him. And Goliath sees him, and he sees, like, just a little kid, you know? And, you know, he starts talking mess, of course, because he's way bigger and way stronger. And David gets back at Goliath, and this is what he says. If you scroll down in 1 Samuel, it's 45. It says that David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with the sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you with the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or the spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." And basically, that's exactly what David did. So basically, David did all of this, right? You know the story. He killed Goliath, and then his army chased that other army down, and they killed that whole army. But let's think about how he did it, and let's think about why he did it, all right? Let's look back at the three gets that we have, all right? First one, getting respect or never backing down from a fight. David never backed down from a fight. He didn't back down from that one. Let's think about getting money. Later on, David became a king, and he had kingdoms, riches, all that stuff, you know? He had all that. Let's think about getting girls. For the longest time, David had 7 wives, and David met a woman named Bathsheba, got an 8th wife, and things did get a little funky after that, but David did have wives. So even if you look at how us, or like, you know, somebody in, you know, a Cleveland public school would think of tough, think of the definition of tough, David was that definition. David was tough. But, let's take some time to think about what actually made David tough. Yeah, he was a fighter, but he wasn't just a fighter because he was always searching for drama. He fought the fights that God wanted him to fight. And yeah, as far as getting money, the second get, David did get money, but it wasn't because he was chasing money. David was chasing God, and God blessed him with everything that he had, including money. And let's think about getting girls. David's wives came when he was following God's will. There was one time where he was just trying to get girls, like from our worldly standpoint, and that's with Bathsheba, and he suffered big consequences for that. But when he was in line with God's will, that's when God provided him with all the things that we think of as, you know, defining a tough man. So at the end of the day, when you really look at it, David was searching for God. So if you want to redefine what made David so strong, and if you want to follow that example and see what will make us tough as men, it looks like the answer would just be loving God. The Bible says that David was also a man after God's own heart. So when he fought Goliath, it wasn't because he wanted to be looked at as tough or raw. It was actually because Goliath was dissing God at that time, so he fought for God. And every single fight, if you look, all the battles that he did was because either God told him or was because he was fighting on God's side. So when you think about it, his strength was actually his love for God. So let's do this. Let's forget about the three gets. Getting money, getting girls, getting respect. Let's forget about that. And let's put the new definition of being tough as loving God, all right? David would also cry, like, at the drop of a hat. He also sang love songs. Ooh, God, I love you. Read Psalms. He prayed all the time. He tended for sheep.
Hey, sheep, don't run. Come here.
And he also played the harp. Sounds pretty tender, right? But David did all that stuff. Just like how he killed lions and fought battles, he did all that stuff for God. It looks like David's tenderness was his toughness, and his toughness was his tenderness. It's all the same thing. David loved God. So when you really think about it, you can be tough and be tender, because it's the tenderness of loving God that makes you tough and bold. You get me? It's the tenderness of loving God that makes you tough. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So that means that if you chase God, you won't have to trip about the gifts, the girls, the money, or the respect, or any of those other things that the neighborhood or the city might say that you need to make you tough. Because if you just follow God, he'll take care of all that stuff. You get me? Matter of fact, when you look back at the three gets, they're actually a form of weakness when you, like, really think about it. Let's look back at the three gets, all right? Number one, getting respect or never backing down from a fight. Even if you're winning all the fights that you always fight, that doesn't mean that you're getting respect. That just means that you can fight. If you're actually respected, you won't have to fight at all because you're respected. Chase God. Number two, getting money. If your mindset is really money over everything, money on your mind, then that means that money is what you're living for. But Jesus said that he came that we might have life and might have it more abundantly. We can't chase money all our lives because it's only paper, and it's gonna leave as soon as it comes, and we can't take it to the grave with us, so it's dumb to waste a life chasing money. Chase God. Number 3. Getting girls. Listen, I know they're fine. I know they're fine. I know they're fine. But you could get all the girls in the world and still be empty at the end of the day. You know, my dad said that you can love a million girls one way, or you could love one girl a million ways. That's Tinder. Chase God. Chase God. So in closing, it's your love, your thirst, and your chase for God that makes you both tough and tender at the same time. So, now I'm gonna alley-oop the ball over to my brother Walter Glenn, and you know what he's gonna do with it? Amen.
Wednesday, 2011, live! Give it up! What's that, Peter? Peter, you want me to rap? I don't rap, man. I'm cowboy, I'm the real McCoy. I'm chocolate all over like an almond joy. A bow-legged, cool brother, you will agree. On top of the world, just my Jesus and me! All right, man, let's get to work. Let's go to work. You know, when you think about being a tough yet tender man, my years as a Christian, they've taught me some things about this definition of tough but tender. And today, with God's grace, we're going to examine what it's truly like to be a tough man in the eyes of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the example of your son, Jesus, because in him we have a true role model in which to set our standards. Thank you for this time together, Lord, and use your servant to speak your word, Lord. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear as we listen to your word. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray and give thanks. Amen. Now the question is, where can you find a tough but tender man? Well, we can always look at the examples of scripture as Chris Webb did this morning. Give it up for Chris. And I'm going to do that because Chris talked about David, but today I'm going to refer to Jesus Christ as a tough but tender man. But I'm also going to talk about three men who have influenced my life in a very unique and special way. While these men, they're not in the Bible, but they're men that I've encountered in my everyday walk in life, and they've contributed immensely to my personal growth. Some of the things that these men have taught me, it's just been amazing and awesome. I can't even tell you. But they've helped me to redefine what my version of a tough man was. You see, I thought a tough man was somebody like Rambo. You know, he carried a big machine gun, he had them big muscles, or he was a football player like Hines Ward of the greatest team in the world, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Or he was like on the Westerns, one of those cowboys who he rode off into the sunset, leaving the girl behind, you know, with no strings attached. See, I used to think that was a tough man. But you know what? Those men helped me redefine what true toughness is. Because you see, real tough men, they care enough about a woman to respect her. Amen? You know, they don't make her, or they don't ask her to do things that are not in her best interest or things that are not good for her to be doing. You know, real men, when they see a relationship developing and growing and getting bigger and bigger, and they know, boy, this thing is getting really, really serious right now, they know that the next step in that relationship is marriage. Amen? Real toughness and real tough men, they know how to work through difficult situations. You know, they know how to, first of all, stay in their households, and they help raise their children. That's what real tough men do. Now, watch this. Real men are tough, but they also know how to be tender, okay? Because you see, I grew up in a household without a father. And I had a mom and I had two sisters. And in my own personal household, I have a wife, and I have two daughters, and I got our wonderful Felicia from time to time, and you know, so I'm surrounded by women. And what that teaches you, men, is there's some tender things that we need to learn, okay? So let's start right now. You know, tenderness is that part of you that teaches you that, you know, you need to do some things around the house. You need to pick up after yourself. You need to be helping out. You need to be working with the kids from time to time, doing a little homework at times. You know, that's tender. That's that part that, you know, that we as men need to not omit. We need to include it. Tenderness, men, is being able to admit when you're wrong, amen, and make the necessary changes to get things right. Men, is being humble enough to know that your wife, or if some of you are single out here, your girlfriend may know more about a particular subject than you do. Yeah. That's called having a teachable spirit, men. Yeah. Now, how many times, guys, be honest, have we went on a field trip or a road trip and we know that we lost? We just know it. We don't even have a clue where we at. And you hear this voice that comes from the other side of the car, and she says, "Honey, don't you think we ought to pull over at the gas station?" Now, I don't know what happens to us as men, but something kicks in, and it's called pride. And we sit there and we think, "I got this. I know where we at." And about 45 minutes later and a half a tank of gas later, you say to yourself, "Baby, I think I'm going to pull over and go to the gas station and get a pop." Knowing you going in there to get directions, you know you are. And it's like, why didn't we just listen to her the first time around? Why didn't we just do it? Now, women, here is your opportunity. This is your opportunity to help us out a great deal as men. Do you realize that you as women play an important part in tenderizing the heart of your man? Do you know that? Think about it like this. Have you ever gone to the store to get a steak and you look on the shelf and here's a steak for about $9.99, and then you look on this side and you see a steak for $3.99? But the problem is you only got $5 in your pocket. That's a problem. So you do what you need to do. You get the $3.99 steak and you take it home. Now, ladies, I don't have to tell you, that $3.99 steak is going to be tough. Amen? Amen? But you do what all good cooks know how to do. You work with that steak, right? Okay. You tenderize it a little bit. You marinate it a little bit. You pound on it a little bit. And you put it in the marinade and you let it sit for a while. You have some patience with it, right? And then before you know it, the result is that steak has been literally transformed from being tough to being tender. Amen? Amen? Y'all know what I'm talking about. That meat literally falls right off the bone when you eat it. Well, ladies, that's what I'm saying to you today. You got to help us as men. You got to work with us. You got to be patient with us. See, because we need your love. We need your respect. We need your trust. We need you to stand by us. Because see, this outside world, it beats up on us all the time. So we need your encouragement, ladies. Because we all know, beside every good man is a good woman. Now, men, I wanted you to think about this. It's a very delicate line that we walk. Being tough and being tender. That's a delicate line, and you got to walk it very carefully. Amen? Yeah. You know, women, they like a tough man. They like a man who's willing to take care of his business. They like a man who's willing to work a job. Ladies, you can say amen at any point. Yeah. Amen? Amen? They want a man who they feel protected and secure with as they go on out and about town. They want a man who can deal reasonably with all kinds of situations, and especially with his children. They want a man who's going to take care of his appearance. They want a man who's like all that. Yet, they also want a man who's tender, okay? Tender enough to be sensitive and caring. They want a man who's a good listener. They want a man who's willing to do things that they value, such as going to the movie and going shopping. We got to work on it, men. That's hard. That's hard. They want a man that they can, a man that would be tender enough to share his feelings with them and even be willing to talk about that kind of thing with her because he trusts her and he loves her, you know? Come on, man. We got to work. We got some work to do. They want a man moving in the direction of Jesus Christ more and more and more, falling in love with the Lord. Ladies, do yourself a favor. Don't date, if you have a choice, anybody that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And if you do find yourself in that situation with somebody, make sure he's moving along that track. If he's willing to work and willing to work in that direction, then give him some opportunity. But he's got to be love Jesus Christ. You know, when I met my wife Katie, she actually refused to date me until I came here to church at Glenville. That was one of the things she stipulated, and I came here, and the rest is history. You know, recently I was at the Cleveland Clinic with my daughter Jessica, and you know, we were talking about the Lord, and in walked this young man. He worked at the clinic, and you know, his name was Jermaine, and he was overhearing our conversation, so he started chiming in with us, and he started sharing his faith, and he said that he had a wife and two small children, how much he loved his children, and I was just blown away. You know, we do Mary Sensation and we do all that. And, you know, I was just like, brother, I'm so proud of you, a young black man talking this way about his wife and his kids. And it was so positive. And it was the way he spoke. It was just encouraging. And he told me something. He said, you know, I owe it to my faith in Jesus Christ and I owe it to my mother. Well, then he really got my attention with that line, because I'm thinking, OK, I understand the faith in Jesus Christ. But then he came about the part with his mother and he said, you know, my mother, ever since I was a little boy, she said to me, I have raised you to be the man that I never had. Men, I challenge you. Will you be that man in the life of your woman? You know, as I mentioned a little earlier, and this is for the benefit of some of our younger men in the audience today, I grew up without my father. You know, he was not in my life. He left us when we were about 6 years old. And from the time I was 6 to the time I was 16, I saw him a couple times, very rarely. And, you know, my father, he was an alcoholic and he was somewhat abusive to our family. But young men, I want to say to you today, some of you are dealing with the same type of disappointments in your life. But I want you to understand this. The time is always right to reach out and reconnect with your father. And I say that again, the time is always right to make things right with your father. And you may be one of those men like my dad who grew up in that situation. The time is always right for you, Dad, to reconnect and get re-involved with your family. Yes. The time is always right to be involved with your family. You know, and I know that's difficult because those are some awkward stages. How do we do it? How does it work? Well, you just start by, as my good friend Larry Fountain said, by just being honest and being real. You just say, I've messed up and here, where can we go from here? And you know what? Things will flow. They'll happen for you because you know what? I love my dad. With all that happened, I love my dad and I wish I'd had more than 16 years of life with him because I missed him. I missed him immensely growing up. But, young men, if the father in your life is unwilling or unable to re-enter your life in a positive way, then I urge you to do what I did as a young man. And that's where these three unique and special young men come into my life, because I sought out role models for myself, somebody who could help me along the path, somebody could help me with things I didn't know. And each of these men, although they came along at different stages in my life, they work wonders within me. The first man I want to talk about is my dear brother, Brother Leo Mentor. Leo, I met Leo when I was about 20 years old. My life was in just absolute chaos. It was just crazy. I was a bit immature. Can you imagine that? Watch out now. And you know what? I couldn't keep a steady job. I was in my early 20s. Well, Leo, he taught me how to work a steady job. He helped me with my career path. He put me on that career path and the job that I ended up retiring from. Leo was a counsel to me. He was a confidant. You know, he was somebody I could bounce things off of. He was a man, I never had a man up to that point in my life who showed that kind of interest and spent the time and put the resources into me. And for no reason. He didn't have a reason. He didn't have anything to get out of that. Leo taught me. He said, "Walt, you don't have to make the big plays in life. All you have to do is be steady, consistent, and a reliable person." The next man I met in my life was Mr. John Hayes. Wow. I married his daughter when I was about 25 years ago. And this man taught me everything that I wanted to know about being a real man. He taught me about family life. And he taught me about marriage. We had long talks about things like that. And why not? When a man's been married for 65 years to the same woman. Don't you think that that man has something that he knows that he could share with you? He taught me about how being devoted to your family. Because see, in his family, they affectionately, from his kids to his grandkids to his great-grandkids, they affectionately know him as Papa. And what he did for them is like any basketball game, any play, anything that these kids are doing, he is there. You know, what I learned from that man was, and he was, he is, and he will always be for me, Mr. Dependable. Now, the last man I want to talk about is none other than our own Pastor Rick. While we're relatively close in age, you know, he might be a little older than me, I don't know. But I came to faith under Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby in this church 23 years ago, and it changed my entire life. Spiritually, before meeting this man, I was dead. I had no spiritual life. He gave me an understanding of the man that Christ was calling me to be, that inner man that we be talking about all the time. You know, he made me believe in myself at times when I didn't think I could do certain things. You know, he poured himself into me just like he's poured himself into many of you. You know what Pastor Rick taught me? One of the greatest things that he taught me, besides opening up the scripture for me and let me see Jesus Christ as real and personal in my life, he taught me that no man can be complete without Jesus Christ in his life. No man can be complete. I also learned church administration and how to, you know, deal with church and how to do some things like that. But I want to say to all three of these men, my life wouldn't be the same without either or any one of you. Because these three men, for me, they demonstrate what tough and tender is really all about. You know, and they live it out day after day after day, consistently. You know, and all three of these guys, they got something in common. They're all three Christian men. All three see the potential in others, and they seek to nurture that potential and bring it out of you. All three are humble men. All three are encouragers, and they seek what's best for you as an individual. All three are in the business of changing lives. Lastly, and most importantly, I want to talk about this relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life and my life. Because Jesus was, Jesus was the perfect example, and I do mean perfect example, of what a tough and tender man can be. You know, Jesus was, now watch this about Jesus. He was tender enough that his disciples, scripture said, They loved him. The women and the children, they loved to be in his presence. They loved him. So that's tenderness. Yet, he was tough enough to take on the religious order of the time, the Pharisees and all those people that was out to kill him and out to distort the gospel. You know what real toughness is? Real toughness is going to the cross. That's real toughness, y'all. That's a tough man. Yet he was tender. Because scripture says that in several occasions said that Jesus simply wept. Once was when his buddy Lazarus died, and the other when he looked over the city of Jerusalem and its condition. He just wept. But he had this toughness about him, and it was real, and it was good, you see, because crucifixion was it was painful and it hurt, you know. But what kept Jesus on that cross? See, he could have called down 1,000 angels. He could have called them down, but he didn't. And why didn't he do it? He did it for us because of his tenderness. His love for us kept him on that cross on our behalf. Now, men, there's a spiritual lesson to be learned there. He had the power, and Jesus was the kind of person, though, you can have the power, but you got to know when and you got to know how to use it. Amen? And in this Jesus that we're talking about, he is so powerful. He's all powerful, but he's so powerful that in the book of Revelation, it describes him. And it says this in Revelation chapter 1, verse 13. It says, he was dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were like wool as white as snow. His eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. His voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held 7 stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all of its brilliance. Men, I want you to know here and today that you are made in the very image of that Jesus Christ. For scripture tells us, men, that we're of a royal priesthood. We're of a holy nation, those of us who believe in Jesus Christ. Men, I challenge you, use that potential God has given you. I challenge you today, if God has a ministry in your heart, don't wait, just start it right now. Just do it. If God has given you a vision for your life, then accept the call of Christ, because he's calling us all right now. He's calling us to a higher level, men, a higher level of giving, a higher level of worship, a higher level of praise, a higher level of obedience to him, a higher level of purpose. Men, starting today, let's yield our lives over to this Jesus Christ. He's worthy. And let's truly live out our purpose statement, which says our purpose is to enter into a right relationship with God and be equipped for the ministry of Jesus Christ to make a difference in the lives of other people, just like those men made a difference in my life. Men, let's make the most of this tremendous opportunity given to us. Let's retake our families. Let's retake our city. Let's go take our church. And let's all build the kingdom of God. Happy Men's Day. Let's get after it.